Hello again, Blues. Welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. Today, I'm speaking to Christophe Terreur, who is a Belgian journalist. He has appeared on the BBC, 5 Live, Radio 1. He's also written in The Telegraph, The Guardian, The Times, so he knows his stuff. And he focuses specifically on Belgian football talent in the Premier League. He lives in London, but he's obviously originally from Belgium. So it was great to speak to him. We had a chat about a new signing, Henry Onyeranku. I think that's how you say his name. Thankfully, he's got a Nigerian surname, obviously, this lad, but the Belgians just call him Henry, and he has Henry on the back of his shirt, so that makes things easy for us. I mean, even Christophe said that he wasn't quite sure on how to pronounce the his surname. I'm sure there'll be people writing underneath this on Twitter or whatever. You say it like this, and, you know, that's fine, whatever. But, you know, we had a chat about this kid because he's obviously we got in there before West Ham. Signed the lad from Eupen, I think is how you say it, is the club that he's been playing for in Belgium, and then obviously we signed him and then loaned him back to Anderlecht for a season, which sounds, by all accounts, the right thing for Everton to do, according to what Christophe told me. So, you know, that was quite an interesting segment of the podcast. Found out a little bit more about him. Always good to do that. It sounds like quite an exciting prospect, and you know, a good signing for the Blues. And then we moved on to the situation that hangs around all of our necks like a gigantic rock, and that's the situation at the moment concerning Romelu Lukaku, because obviously Romelu Lukaku is a Belgian, and Christophe, you know, obviously naturally knows a lot about this. He says that he's getting awfully sick of this story, so that was quite an interesting segment as well. You know, got a bit of an update there on that situation, that's quite intriguing. So yeah, you know, it was good to speak to Christophe. Fantastic for somebody of his credentials. A lovely fella as well to come on the podcast and talk to us. Remember, grandoldteam.com, get over there. It's the biggest Everton fan site. There's a forum on there, you know, where you can get involved and talk about Everton. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. And, you know, it's worth checking out all of those avenues if you haven't yet. I've got a few more exciting things coming up this week. I'm looking to speak to somebody about Sandro Ramirez. We've got some more kind of interviews and fun things that we're going to do as well with the podcast. So it's all coming together. And I'm enjoying doing these. And I think that you're enjoying listening as well. So that's always good. So without any further messing around, here is Christophe Terreur. And we spoke about the new signing, Henry and Romelu Lukaku. So enjoy, Blues. Sorry about that, bud. I think it's my microphone. I think I've got one port on my Mac that doesn't work right, so I had to put it into the other one. But it's fine now. It's working.
Okay, I thought it was me. I dropped my telephone, so I didn't know what was happening. So I thought it was me, but yeah, suddenly I didn't hear anything anymore. But it was still running. So yeah. Anyway,
you dropped your microphone.
I dropped my phone because
Phone.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah, we have carpet, so that's no problem. It can drop as many times as I want. So,
are you still at work at the moment, Christophe?
Well, I'm not really. Yeah, I'm on standby, but that's not really working. If something happens, I have to work, but there's not a lot happening at the moment. To be fair, so.
Well, yeah, and he's not a Belgian player, but Everton have just announced. Well, Everton haven't announced it. Sky Sports have just announced that Sandro Ramirez.
Yeah. So it's
So obviously this was a chat for Grand Old Team, which is a podcast that we do. And it's great to have you on. Obviously, I've followed you on Twitter now and for quite some time, I think. And obviously, I've been keeping a close eye on the stuff that you've been writing about Lukaku. And I thought, you know, potentially we could cover him at the end of the episode. But before that, I just wanted to quickly chat with you about Henry on... Is it on Onyeranku?
Onyekuru. I don't really know how they pronounce it in Nigeria.
So. Onyekuru.
I think it's Onyekuru, but yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
We
call him Henry, so no one would make a mistake. So, well, and he likes to be called Henry too. So we call him Henry.
Yeah, I've just been watching some of his highlights actually, Christoph, on YouTube, and I noticed he's got Henry written on the back. So I thought, well, that would be a lot easier for idiots like me that can't pronounce anything typical, you know, English, unable to pronounce any kind of like foreigny sounding name. So we'll go with Henry then. So Christoph, I've noticed just by watching a bit of footage of him then, mate. It looks like he can like come in off the kind of the left hand side, or it might have been maybe on the right as well. Sometimes he kind of can cut in, but he is a centre forward. What can we kind of expect when we see him? Obviously, the season after this one.
Well, I think at Anderlecht he will play more from the left or from the right side. They will use him there. They won't use him as a central striker because they have a big lad up front, Theodorchuk, who was the top scorer. So he will play along and maybe even in a 4-4-2 sometimes, but he will be the second striker coming from the left or coming from the right. But he's pretty skillful and pretty fast, so that's his main qualities. He scored a lot of goals. That can happen in one season in the Belgian league, scoring a lot of goals, but he has to confirm now that he really has that eye for goals. Like, for instance, Lukaku, when he was young, he scored 2 seasons in a row more than 15 goals, and that's what he has to prove now. It's his first season at the highest level, so we're all a bit. He has to confirm. He played for the number 13 in Belgium. He has obviously lots of talent. I like the way he plays. He's like a player we all like to play, like fast dribbling skills. So
how does he compare to Romelu at the same age? In fact, it was Rom, because he's 20, isn't he? Was Romelu Lukaku in Chelsea by the age of 20? Anyway, roughly, you know, in terms of his progress, when you think about, you know, Lukaku's time spent at Anderlecht in the Belgian league, how do they compare?
Well, I think you can't compare them. I think Lukaku was fast and strong, but he was never a dribbler when he played in Belgium. This lad is a dribbler. And at the age of 20, I think Rom was already at West Brom, so scoring a lot of goals in the Premier League. So I think Rom had a few steps. He was a few steps ahead. because he was a strong lad. Like in the Belgian, Rom at 16 was already a tank. And he played Europa League. He had European experience when he was 17, playing Europa League, Champions League, playoff rounds, not full Champions League campaign. So Rom had European football when he moved to Chelsea and then didn't play. So I think for Henry, it will be very important to play Champions League next season with the Anderlecht. There he's going to make the steps. And it's there where clubs often see that players are ready for the Premier League or not. I'm going to give the example of Wilfred and Didi, who joined Genk and moved to Leicester. He proved himself in the Europa League. He was one of the better players in Europe. And if you can play in the Europa League or a Champions League and you're the standout player in a few games, you can do it at an English club. I don't think Henry would have been ready for taking a regular spot at Everton yet. He's skillful. He has the talent, but Premier League is something different. High tempo, lots of pace. It's a totally different league than the Belgian league, which is quite slow at the moment. So we would have to see. But I never thought he was ready for that step yet. And I think they made the right move by loaning him out to Anderlecht again, where he can play with pressure, because at Anderlecht there's always pressure. They have to become champions. They're like the biggest club in Belgium, the most successful club too. So there you really have to perform with fans that expect a lot from players too. They're not happy with the second place, so he will have that pressure. Plus, he will play against the real big teams in the Champions League, and then we'll see if he's ready for Everton or not. But Steve Walsh has been scouting a lot the last few years in Belgium. He knows the market, and I think this guy has something extra there. I don't know if you read about this development that he got nurtured in the Aspire Academy, which is basically founded by, it's Qataris money, but the people behind it are all former Barcelona people, like Joseph Colomer, one of the guys who discovered Messi. So and worked with Messi. And those guys are trained by Spanish guys. And that's what you see in the game. They have something Spanish. Plus, yeah, it's the pace and the acceleration that really African players usually have. So it's a combination of a Spanish and an African player. That's something pretty special, I think.
Yeah, it's a good combination. And incidentally, I did do, like any good journalist, if that's what I refer to myself as, I did do a bit of research, and I looked into this Qatari thing and the Aspire Foundation that he started with. So they own the club that he's been playing for. Is it UPenn? Yeah. Forgive me if I've pronounced that wrong.
It's in the German part of Belgium, so it's Eupen.
So he's been playing for them, and then I think you've got some kind of bizarre kind of playoff system that comes into play, and that's where he got these 11 goals in 10 games. But I'm reading, Christoph, that little kind of segment of the league when that happens, I think it's qualification for the Europa League maybe, the competition kind of dwindles a little bit, so we can't maybe read into that too much, you know, those goals.
Playoff two is usually playoff one, that's the six best teams playing for the league title, but in playoff two there come some second league teams. Yeah, it's a weird system. Some of the pro league B that's our second league join that league two. And it's some teams play with youngsters, some are not motivated to play there, so it's really difficult to put a real mark on it and say that's a high level. I don't think playoff two has had a real high level, but it's often the playoff where the youngsters can shine and where youngsters get chances, and the better teams are not playing there, so you play basically they are divided from. Yeah, from seven to 15 in the Belgian league. Those teams play against each other, and then a few teams from the second league are added. So it's a weird system. It would have been if Everton had played a playoff with all the teams below them, the Bournemouths of this world, the West Bromwich, and maybe guys like Lukaku would have stand out there too and even scored more goals. So it's really difficult to say. That as a high level, it's not a really high level, but he proves he has something. You don't score those goals easily because in Belgium, the league is quite defensive too. It's not as open as in the Premier League, for instance, where all central defenses are playing in the middle of the pitch, basically. That's not fact in Belgium, where it's quite a Tony Pulis league.
The Tony Pulis league. I'm not sure whether that is that a compliment to your native land. I'm not sure. We'll leave that to the listeners to decide.
No, but it's a smaller teams always play defensive football. You have a few who play attacking football, of course. We're known for defensive organization too, in a way. So
right, okay.
Yeah, but no long balls, but football, but with a good organization too. More than, for instance, in Holland or in the Premier League, where it's quite open.
I like it. No, that's a good insight. I mean, I'm not too familiar with the Belgian league, so it's good to hear about another league.
Keep it like that. It's not nice to watch. And now we've 5 years in England. If I have to watch a game of the Belgian league, the pace, I'm complaining after 10 minutes. It's so slow and so boring. So that's the Belgian league.
Really? Because I've got a good friend of mine who has a Belgian family, and he's been saying, you know, I'll take you across one day and we'll go and watch a match. But maybe I'll just stick to drinking. I mean, you're very good. You're very good at lager, so maybe I'll just kind of like focus on that as opposed to.
Yeah, but a game has a good atmosphere. So if you go to one of the top games, it's always good atmosphere. So it's the tempo. It's mainly the pace of the game that. It's quite slow, but you have that in the Spanish league too, for instance. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's just a way of football you're used to. I like high pace. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, same here. So, obviously, Christoph, you know, I know with the work that you do, you know, you're quite close to some of these lads. You probably interact with them quite frequently. Because you're in London and Henry is obviously in Belgium, have you had a chance to speak to him ever before? What kind of guy is he, do you know?
Well, it's because it's such a small team that not a lot is known from this players. It's also a quite closed club. He made some trouble when he wanted to move to Celtic in the winter transfer window. He didn't turn up for the training session a few times. So after that, everything
bit of a diva then. Bit of a diva.
Yeah, but I've known lots of young African players in Belgium. It's usually agents pushing for them and promising them the world, and then they're walking with their heads high in the sky, and then they do things like that. But that doesn't mean that it's a bad lad. It just, yeah, they are sometimes badly advised, I think. So,
right.
But it happens with also sometimes with Belgian players. So it's just being offered loads of money and then suddenly saying, oh, I can give my family, they don't have to work their whole life anymore. I want that move. So, but afterwards, he just kept on performing, which is a good thing. So he didn't have a real dip in his performances. So then he can cope with the pressure after a case like that. So, yeah, he's, what I heard from him is a cheery lad, like a happy, happy guy, quite shy, but he knows what he wants and he's quite ambitious. And that's what you see in this move too. He had two choices. West Ham was the other one, but he wouldn't get a work permit. And then when Everton came along, he immediately said, yes, I want to join that club. So that means that Everton has a good name in Belgium. Everyone has seen what they've done with Lukaku, what they've done with Kevin Mirallas. Your club has quite a good reputation in Belgium for nurturing talent. That's
good to hear, because obviously, you know, Belgium's a country. I know that Henry isn't born there, but it's a country that does kind of churn out quite a bit of talent. I mean, I think people are always kind of like a little bit. I mean, I was historically, you know, a bit bemused by how good your national side is on paper. Obviously, you know, not been replicated that frequently in tournaments, a bit like England.
Yeah, I always say we're the continental England. So,
that's not a good thing. But yeah, no, I mean, in terms of, like, the talent that you've just got, you look across the side and you're like, wow, there's just so much there. So anyway, the fact that Everton have got that reputation in Belgium is definitely a good thing. And the reason I was asking about his character, because I was just thinking, you know, how would he fit into kind of like the dynamics of the Everton squad? But how do you think, so, because with West Ham, did he, if West Ham would have signed him, Christoph, do you know if, like, he'd have just gone straight into their side? Or...
Yeah, they wanted him as an immediate signing. So they wanted that work permit sorted. They couldn't get it sorted. Yeah, it was complicated when you only had one cap and Nigeria's not performing well international games. He would never have got them. That was what an agent immediately told him, who specialized in moving players to England. He told me work permit will be really a problem for him, certainly because, yeah, Open only wanted 8 million euros, which is not enough. They had to pay him high wages instead, right. Like, and they wouldn't have got him. So that was mainly the problem. And I think, yeah, West Ham pushed for him, but also found out that we can't give this guy a work permit. We believe in him. We think he can add something to our team. I think more as an impact sub, not as a regular player in the beginning, but they also believed in him. They were quite sure that they would get him at a certain point, but that was also another agent involved. There were lots of agents involved until Open put a famous Belgian agent on it, and he did the deal. And it was also, yeah, the guy who, Mirallas' agent and Lukaku's former agent, who called Bill Kenwright and Mushiri to say, that's a good guy, sign him and you might loan him out. It's a good player. Don't hesitate. And that's how Everton got him, although they had scouted him a lot too.
Yeah, I was going to say, so obviously Steve Walsh had obviously identified him, and then obviously the agents kind of helped it a little.
Yeah, but Everton have every week on most games a scout. They're always there. Every time I see lists of scouts, there's always someone of Everton.
Really?
And I know, yeah. Yeah, they have a Belgian guy who does a lot of scouting for them. They watch all the top games. Yeah, it's an interesting market for them. We see what happened with Fellaini. That was the first real signing, Belgian signing. I'm not going to mention Thomas Radzinski. That's years ago, but he also moved from the Belgian league. Fellaini's been an example. He made a step up to Man United. Rome has done well at Everton. Mirallas done well. So you're good for Belgium. So that's why it's the ideal club for players who are not ready for top clubs. But I think if I was an agent, I would advise players to go to a team like Everton. It's just a good team before competing for European places, Europa League. If they are lucky, they even can get in the Champions League in one season, maybe. So it's a good team, and you see lots of youngsters get their chances. And the pressure is in their eyes, so it's an ideal step up to another team, to the big team. So.
So yeah. this Qatar, I just want to go back to this Qatari thing, because I'm quite intrigued by it. I was reading about it. So, you know, obviously he was the Qatari, this foundation type thing. They plucked him from Nigeria, then brought him to Qatar. Now, I think with Qatar, there's been some kind of speculation that they try and obviously churn and produce players from like other countries. So obviously they move them to Qatar and then they get Qatari citizenship. Now you say he's made a cap for Nigeria. Is there any, because that's only one cap and I think you can obviously change your nationality. Is there any way that the Qataris could will he have the offer to play for Qatar potentially in the World Cup in a few years or something? Or am I just completely off with this one?
Well, it happens. It happens with some players already have double nationality. So, but I think he's really proud Nigerian that he will always choose for Nigeria.
So he really
wanted to play for the national team. So I don't think they can make him a Qatari anymore. Okay. So, but that's what was. I think that was their initial plan to have some good foreigners to make them like they've done in track and field, for instance, where they have Africans running for them. Think they wanted to do the same in football, but then they find out it's more complicated in football than in track and field, for instance. So
interesting. So just finally on Henry, then, have you got a kind of prediction? I mean, look, I know I'm putting you on the spot here and asking you to make a prediction, but in like 5 years' time, where do you kind of see him? His stature within the game?
Well, in 5 years' time, he will be 25. I think he will. Yeah, you will be a Premier League player in 5 years' time if he doesn't lose it, of course. You never can predict what the player does. If you give him lots of money, does the motivation go? But I predict that he will be a Premier League player, but I'm not going to say at which level. I can say, maybe still at Everton, with performing well there on the right, on the left wing. But he has all the qualities to make it in England, with his pace, with his skills, and even his goal scoring. So I think he will be somewhere in the Premier League, but don't expect too much of him yet. Only 20 years old. Think at the age of 24, 25, then the real players stand out. I think most foreign players, 22, 23 years old, then they start standing out. So he will be in a good period, I guess, in 5 years. Then he's really fully mature Premier League player. He can adjust it to the tempo. So in 5 years, he could be an Everton star, for instance. So,
oh, that's interesting. Right, it's one to watch out for then. So obviously, Christoph, you know, I said I wouldn't keep you for too long, mate, and I know you're on standby with work, but I just wanted to touch on something. Obviously, you know, Everton have announced now Sandro Ramirez is signing. They're linked with Giroud. There's a lot of speculation that these are all kind of potential replacements for Romelu Lukaku. You're a guy in the know. Obviously, you know, you're specialising within the Belgians in the Premier League. Give us just simply, mate, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely is it that Romelu Lukaku will be an Everton player at the end of this transfer window?
An Everton player, I think it will be 3 or 4. I think 3 or 4 at 10. I think he will leave and will push for the move at a certain point. I know Chelsea are interested and are still thinking, are we going to pay what Everton are asking, the £100 million pound fee? It's a lot. It's a lot of money. But in the end, I think it will happen. I want it to end. Like, come, move on. I think a lot of Everton fans have the same feeling. Come, move on. All the talk is done. Come, move on. So we can move on and buy our players we want. And we can move on to the next step. Because also last season, he already wanted to leave in the summer. And then there was interest from Chelsea too, but they didn't want to pay what Everton were asking at that time. That was less than they are asking now, but they didn't push for it either. And then Koeman convinced him to stay. So I don't think Koeman can convince him for second season to stay. And I think some of his quotes have also, some players have, some fans will have had enough. I see it on Twitter. Some fans really have had enough of him, of his quotes, of constantly willing to leave, crying out for club to be more ambitious. And I think Koeman has made it clear at the end of the season too, for Ross Barkley and for Lukaku, if they don't want to sign new deals, we have to move on and we have to sign other players and sell them. And I think that will happen. And I hope it happens next week or the week after. I think Roma has an extra week of holiday because he played international games, so he isn't expected to be back in training this week, I think, so he will be back next week. But I hope I think at Chelsea, if it wants the situation with Costa solved, they can sign Lukaku, and hopefully it's sooner than later, because I don't want to make the phone calls every day till the end of August. So I'm already bored of it now. Still getting updates, and there's nothing new to tell since the end of May. Nothing really has happened. Everton and Chelsea have been in touch. Everton has said the fee they want. Chelsea have been in touch again, but nothing's really happened since then. And still, the story pops up in a paper every day or online, or you get questions. Just going, there's no news. He's still on holiday. He's not playing on the Chelsea pitch for 5-a-side games.
Christoph, who do you go to? I mean, obviously not. You don't have to name them, but like when you say you make phone calls, like where do you dig? Are you calling, like, trying to get hold of his agent? Are you trying to get hold of the clubs? How's it work?
Agents,
right?
Agents, also other agents who are usually involved with in between clubs. There are always people around clubs who know sometimes things, or people who know the player quite well, friends of the player sometimes. So
that's fascinating.
It's sometimes difficult. Certainly with such a big deal, it's difficult to get hold of people. Raiola is not the easiest to get on the phone. Chelsea is a difficult club to deal with because you can't call Roman Abramovich. You can't call the CEO. So sometimes difficult to get information, but you always have people around the club or people who know what's happening. Agents, there are a few agents who know a lot about what's happening between clubs, because often clubs contact agents to say to get another deal done. Like if we sell Lukaku and they have been in touch already, we expect them to sell. It can probably Everton can tell that to an agent, but bring us this guy instead. And you might accidentally know that agent, and he will tell you, yeah, I've spoken to Bill Kenrise or Ferhat Moshiri, for instance, and he says that they have been in touch, but that they haven't agreed yet. So, and sometimes it's press officer. You can call the press officer to ask what's happening. Usually, sometimes they brief things, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just say, I don't know. So it's quite difficult to get hold of them. Sometimes I contact players too directly, but they're on holiday, so they don't really answer. So,
It's a bit. Do you not think there's something with Lukaku now? There might be a little bit of kind of a something that kind of like just computes in his head, where he spoke about Everton showing ambition, and now it appears that Everton are showing that ambition. Is there any way that he might go, actually, do you know what? If the Chelsea thing doesn't happen, I might hang around for another year because things look like they're moving in the right direction here now? Or do you just think that, like, obviously, as you said, 3 out of 4, there's kind of no chance of that happening either?
Well, he's made his mind up and he's got to make a big U-turn also for what he said. He has made it so difficult for him with his quotes, with his interview after he was about to sign a new deal. So, he's going to make it a big U-turn, and I don't think everyone will accept it for a few months until he starts scoring goals again, because that's the most important thing. If he performs, fans forget things easily. So that happened last year too. So if he scores goals,
it's kind of like it reminds me a little bit of my first girlfriend, Christoph, because she was like, obviously, early relationship, she was a bit of a nightmare in that, she'd go off and it'd be like, she'd see her talking to other lads, but oh no, she's chatting to her lads again. But then obviously, it was kind of good. When it was good. So that's the same thing with Romelu Lukaku, in the sense it's like it's an abusive, he goes off and he speaks to other people, but then as he did last summer, then he comes back and he starts scoring goals and you're like, oh, I forgive you. You're amazing. And then he goes and does it again. So, you're probably right. Probably just need to move on. It's not working. But, Christoph, look, mate, I've really appreciated you having you on. It's been really good to speak to you. Where can people find you on Twitter, dude?
Everyone will know it. Just retweet just put that at my handle, at HLN in England, and they can send questions. Sometimes I answer them, not all of them, because I sometimes get a lot. I still need some time to do other things too. So, but
absolutely, yeah. Well, let's hope.
If it's good, if they're not abusive, I will answer. Even if they're abusive, I will sometimes answer. So, yeah.
Of course. Well, we'll obviously when we tweet.
But not every day. What's the Lukaku situation? Not every day. So
no, we can tell that's driving you round the bend, mate. So hopefully.
Yeah, I'm like Everton fans. This situation is driving me round the bend. What's happening with Lukaku? What's happening here? Well, I hope to get an update soon. So.
Well, obviously, keep us posted on the situation. Yeah. Obviously, you know, if there's any other Belgian players that we're linked with, you know, we'd love to have you on again, Christophe. But once again, thank you for giving up your time on a Sunday night.
Yeah, no problem at all. It's a grand old team to support. And it, you know, your history.